Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, it's always our delight to have you on board with us as we face the issues. We look forward to your dialogue and discussion. We look forward to your input. Today, we're going to be asking you, by all means, join the dialogue and discussion. Love to hear from you. We're talking about two major serious local issues in our city. We're going to be talking about the move to eradicate our heritage historical monuments. Those that are moving to do so say that those monuments are racist. It's reverse racism that's promulgating the problem and yet calling those that want to keep the monuments racist. We're going to talk about that today and invite your dialogue and discussion on the issue. We'll also be talking about the fact that the CRT and the LGBTQ agenda being taught in our local schools in the Duval County school system. I don't know if you're aware of it or not. We're going to talk about that. We'll talk about the source of the funding to do so and those that are behind the push to make all of our sons and daughters and grandkids embrace the sodomite lifestyle and adhere to the critical race theory that is, yes, being taught in Duval County schools. I don't know about you, but I'm concerned about it, and I believe it's time that Christians and conservatives in Jacksonville, Florida, speak up, stand up, be heard, and be seen. I'm a little weary with the spineless preachers that won't take a stand on these issues. I'm even more concerned about those spineless moms and dads and grandparents that will simply allow their sons and daughters to be brainwashed and indoctrinated by a governmentally controlled system that has the designed purpose of destroying the morals, ethics, and the values of every child in the public educational governmentally controlled system. So if you're concerned about those issues, heads up, today's the day to call. Make your desires known. You can challenge my position if you'd like. We'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear the position that you take and why you take that position if you disagree with it. That telephone number, by the way, is 831-0917. We're going to have a brief monologue. Then we're going to talk about these issues today that I believe are vital. We're talking about a subject that I'm simply calling Stop Erasing Our Heritage. Stop Erasing Our Heritage. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Perhaps you say all of a sudden, well, where does the Bible talk about landmarks? And where does the Bible talk about monuments and heritages and basing our future understanding for our sons and our daughters and our grandkids on what a history past has allocated for us? Ladies and gentlemen, we'll look at the scripture on that during the course of this broadcast. May I remind you again that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you're tuned in by way of internet, that is the area code 904, 831-0917. Love to hear from you today. Right after the monologue, join the dialogue and discussion on this very, very, very important issue. The scripture says in John 8:31 and 32, the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to know truth today, not deception, not lies, not candy-coated, sugar-coated, deceptive statements that's calling things racist. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, no such thing as racism. God created one race, and that's the human race. And I get a little weary whether it's someone on the side of the white skin or the black skin that's calling the other racist because they try to use that as a cudgel to beat you in the head to force you to submit to their will and their directions on what they're wanting to do. The Lord Jesus himself said in John 14:6, I am truth. And then in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus points to the word of God, if you please, and says, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God that should motivate each of us today to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And I believe that we need to understand today, ladies and gentlemen, truth is not sought. Truth is not cherished. Truth is not embraced, generally speaking. It is dissed, as the world calls it. It is rejected in society today. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made a very profound statement when he made this statement. DeMint warns the headlines. DeMint warns that America's decline is linked to the death of truth. And former Senator Jim DeMint said, truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to stick to the truth. If the truth cuts one way or the other, it makes no difference. It's the truth of the Word of God. Some get a little upset by it. Some reject it. Some are revolted by it. Some try to dismiss it. Some try to, in some way, diminish what the Word of God says or deny what the Word of God says. Ladies and gentlemen, that started in Genesis, the third chapter, with Adam and Eve and their dialogue and discussion with Satan the serpent in the third chapter of Genesis. Need to be very, very careful when there's a question or a challenge or a dissing of the Word of God. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that made a powerful statement. He says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And I challenge us each and every day for us to do that very thing, to love the truth, to learn the truth. You won't find truth on the Communist Network News. You won't find truth, even maybe a little fraction of it, on the Fox News Network. You won't find truth out in the marketplace that's called public television or radio. You'll find truth in the Word of God. And God's Word has an answer and direction for every occasion, for everything that faces us as individuals in the world today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the broadcast is brought to you by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about backup power equipment. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right here in Jacksonville, Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. But wait, 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 there's some good news, ladies and gentlemen. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is closed on Sunday so that those that are part of the family of Tools for Time can worship in the house of God with the family of God as God ordained it. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, now offering those positions, and I encourage you to drop by, make an application, wait for an interview, and see what happens with God placing you in the family of Tools for a Time. ToolsForTime.com, ladies and gentlemen, I pray that you're tuned in today with the idea that you want to find out what's happening, you're interested in what's taking place in our city, and some of the primary things that I believe should grasp our attention is what is taking place from the standpoint of removing our monuments. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Perhaps some of you that are listening, if you are knowledgeable of the Scripture, if you've studied the Scripture, if you're saved, if you're a conservative Christian, you know what I'm talking about when I talk about the fact, ladies and gentlemen, that in the Word of God, the Bible, God's Word talks about monuments and the reason for monuments being given to us. In case you've not read it, let me remind you where it's found. It's in Joshua, the 4th chapter, verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Ladies and gentlemen, God had chosen Joshua to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. It was Joshua that had the privilege, the opportunity, and the responsibility to do what God had called him to do. Joshua chapter 1 is the story behind God's calling Joshua to lead the children of Israel. And he reminded him in chapter 1, verses 7, 8, and 9, and I'll paraphrase it. God reminded Joshua that you're not to be fearful, but you're to continue to maintain your eyes on the Word of God. God told him, don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right, but stay right down the center of the Word of God. And he said, then I will make your way prosperous, that is, to be successful. It's uhodo in the Greek and the Hebrew text. It simply means to have a good journey. God says to Joshua, if you'll follow me, if you obey me, if you follow my word, then I will make everything that you do in your leadership role successful in doing so. And then in the 4th chapter of Joshua, ladies and gentlemen, when they were on the banks of the Jordan River to cross the Jordan to go into the promised land, God told Joshua what to do in the 3rd chapter of Joshua. And then in the 4th chapter of Joshua, after they had crossed over into the promised land, this is what God said to Joshua. I'm going to read it very carefully. This is our introductory statement. These are the introductory criteria by which we're making the decision and saying some things about the monuments in Jacksonville today. The Scripture says in Joshua, the 4th chapter, and it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, take ye hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called on the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take you every man up a stone out on his shoulder according to unto the number of the tribe of the children of Israel. That's 12, ladies and gentlemen. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what meaneth ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off beyond, before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. When they placed those stones there, God said, do it as a monument to remind. Wasn't a monument for racism. It wasn't a monument to say, na 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 na, in the face of the enemy that was trying to slay the children of Israel. It wasn't a monument to say that we are bigger and badder and better than you. It was a monument that God said to place there so that in future generations, a child could say, what do those stones mean? And moms and dads could give them the answer of the historic event where God led them through and crossed the Jordan on dry land. It was a monument reminding them of what God had done in preparing for them. Ladies and gentlemen, monuments across America today have meaning for the most part. Now, I'm not in favor of a George Floyd monument. There are a lot of states and a lot of cities that are putting up George Floyd monuments. I think that a nickel and dime, 2 cents thug ought not to be memorialized as George Floyd has been. But I don't feel it's my responsibility to go into any city and call that the monument a racist monument, although it is a racist monument, and tell them and demand they take it down. And I'm offended by anybody, whether it's red, yellow, black, or white, in our city or any other city, saying that the monuments that we have today are racist and therefore they need to be taken down. I believe that it is absolutely wrong, and it is a stench, I believe, in the nostrils of God. Monuments are placed as a memorial of what God had done in the text we find here, so that future generations would be able to understand it, to communicate the real history to their children and their children's children. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll say again, the monuments that you find in the Joshua text, I don't believe those monuments are there for the purpose of angering the enemy. I don't believe the monument was put there to say, look at me, and have a racist flag attached to it. Ladies and gentlemen, today's woke cancel culture using a socialist Marxist agenda to undermine and destroy America's history and heritage are using the divisive excuse of calling monuments racist. Therefore, a push to remove our rich heritage across our nation. And right here in Jacksonville, Florida, ladies and gentlemen, we have some weak-minded, weak-backbone, spineless rhinos, Republican name only if you don't understand that, rhinos that are wanting to appease a spineless mayor, a rhino mayor, in taking the monuments down in our city, monuments that have historical meaning, monuments that have historical background, monuments that I believe need to stay. I believe we need to say enough of the weak, rhino-infested city council, some of those today that are wanting to take them up. And ladies and gentlemen, listen, we'll talk about it in a moment. Some of those ones, city council members that are wanting to take it down, Matt Carlucci, for example, is willing to say, set aside $1.3 million to take monuments down, taking taxpayer dollars to do so. It is the mayor that has already made the announcement that we will take all of these monuments down in our city, regardless of what the people, the majority of the people in the city of Jacksonville say. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to have with us today, I don't know how long he'll be able to hang in there with us on this broadcast, but he's welcome for the entire duration of the broadcast. But we have today Al Ferrero. Al is a city councilman that I believe has his head screwed on straight. Al is one that I believe has a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Al is a Republican that's willing to take a stand on the issues. And Al Ferrero is on the line with us today, and we're going to talk about this monument issue. We'll talk about his candidacy for mayor and what I believe that we need to do as citizens in Duval County to recognize God's placing his hand on him and may just very well be the candidate that God would have us to have as mayor of the city of Jacksonville. Al, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. Can you hear me?
I can hear you well. Wonderful. Thank you for taking time out of a busy schedule and joining us on this broadcast. Al, we're talking about the monument issue. And we want to talk about that with you for a journey through the issues that are faced with and what you're doing and your stand on the issue and ask you a few questions in relationship to where is this going. First of all,
thank you
so much for taking the time. And I want our listeners to understand, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Al Ferrero. Al is a conservative Christian Republican running for mayor. Al, take a minute before we get on to the monument issues. Tell us something about your candidacy. Tell us, tell our listeners how they can help you and what they can do in relationship to supporting you. And I am thankful, ladies and gentlemen, let me just tuck this in as a little parenthetical footnote. I'm thankful for his stand in the face of the multitudes that saying, take the monuments down. He's saying, keep them up. So, Al, thank you for that. Tell us about your candidacy. Tell us why you're running for mayor of the city, what you intend to do when elected as mayor.
Thank you very much for having me on, Dr. Youngblood. You know, some of the things that have concerned me as a council member is, you know, where the direction of our city's going. You know, the monuments and the historical markers, that's just one component of so many other ones. People are moving in flocks to Jacksonville because they love our city. I love our city, and I want to see great things happen to it. And, you know, some of the folks that want to transform by taking our historical monuments down don't just stop at statues or monuments. I've had these folks in my office that want to rename not just schools, they want to rename streets, they want to rename all different types of things to eliminate the history of our city. And when they were in my office talking about it, they also talked about removing the Second Amendment, you know, start to disarm law-abiding citizens. These are things that are historically part of what made our country so great. And it really it really got me concerned as I was hearing about this. This was about 2 years ago before the pandemic when we had these conversations. And I've seen our city moving in sometimes directions that outsiders are coming in and trying to mold our city into something that is different that I grew up with. This city has been a loving city. It is something I grew up in. I know a lot of people. I've had my business in here for over 35 years, and I've seen crime, and I've seen things happening to my city to where I can't stand back and do nothing about it. As a city council member, I've seen things that have happened financially where they've done nothing but taxes and taxes and taxes, yet I've seen our streets getting dirtier. They're getting more filled with crime. These are not the things that I want to see for my unborn grandchildren. I do think that the Lord puts us in a place for reasons, and I could give you a lot of reasons why people think that I shouldn't be in this position as city councilman, and reasons why they don't think that I will have an opportunity to be mayor of this city. But I will tell you that the Lord has opened up so many doors for me and has pushed me in a direction to help as many people as I possibly can, and it's something that I've been able to do, and I want to do more of it. I am concerned with seeing that people come in here and want to change the direction in a way that I don't see is biblically correct, and I don't see it where it would be financially correct to do it as well. There's a lot of reasons that I think we need to move our city in a different direction, but crime is one of them, and this is something that I feel has been called, and like I said, the Lord has opened up a lot of opportunities for me to help people out from all over. It's not just my district. It's the whole city. And I have good people that have reached out to help me. And I appreciate you having me on your show today, because this is something that I have dedicated my life at this point to trying to do. And I can't do it by myself. I have to have help from the community. And I appreciate you giving me this opportunity to talk about it. So I'm ready to take some questions or answer whatever you have coming my way. So thanks again.
That's good. Al, thank you so much. Hang on. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over with the question or comment if you have something for Al.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Great. Outstanding. Yesterday I called there and my little voice in my head said I better find that verse because you said you couldn't recall it offhand. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and their cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So it's a warning to Christians to, you know, this is what secularism is, and this is what we stand for. Don't be blown around. So, I thought I would share that. Second thing, there's a statue of Lenin in Seattle that's 16 foot tall and it is bronze, and nobody's made a fuss about taking that down. As a firm believer in the freedom of the freedoms that we are given by the Bill of Rights, particularly the First and the Second, I have no objections to that statue being there. And personally, I ignore it. When you bring attention to something, it typically does what they call the butterfly effect, magnifies it more than it really should be. A monument is there to remind people why this occurred and to keep you from repeating history. When you are going to run for mayor, I'm assuming that your stance is it going to be a vote on a ballot? Or is it going to be something that's up to city council and your personal feelings as far as these monuments that were left by previous generations as a reminder to future generations? How do you feel?
I'll go ahead with the answer to that.
So just to bring you up to date, the city council voted in committees to leave the monuments where they were at. Came to the vote, at the actual council, they pushed it off because I believe they saw that it was going to be left. And you know, what I think that happens is I want to put this for the voters to vote on this, of what they would like to decide. We have so many issues in this city that this is a distraction. It's a distraction of talking. It's a distraction of talking about what the real issues are in our city. And it gets people divided on race, and it gets them divided on all other issues. And it takes you away from what the real problems are in the city. Take the crime, for example, or take taxes, or take the school, or take anything that you want. And you know, things come up. You had the HRO come up, and you had, you know, all these taxes, to where it's a distraction to get you away from talking about what the real issues are. So when this came up, I just was having a lot of people coming up to me saying, we should vote on this. We do not want to see our history being taken down. And when I made the comment that I didn't think that it would pass, what I was talking about with the news media was I didn't think it would pass through the city council. I thought what they're going to do is they're going to bounce this around a little bit, or they're going to have outside entities coming in making decisions for us who live here in this city. And I didn't want that to happen. So by putting it on the ballot, I wanted everybody who was a registered voter to come out to be able to put on record and put this to bed so that we can move on to real issues that are happening in our city. I don't want to see the stuff being taken down as far as historical monuments and markers. And, you know, and this could include a lot of things, not just Confederate statues. It could be memorials for veterans, or police memorial walls, or any other type of thing. And it could move into religion, because we've seen this happen in other countries, and we've seen it happen throughout history. So what I want to do is get back focused in on what are the real issues that are affecting people every day in their pocketbooks, and be able to answer these questions without getting off. This has been taking way more time than it should. I hope that answered your question.
Absolutely. Jim, you have any other questions or comments based on what Al has said?
No, I pretty much agree with the stance on the Second Amendment there. I mean, the history of the Second Amendment and why it was put in, it's a protection for the rights of the First Amendment. You know, it's also the protection, I think it's the Fourth, for unlawful search and seizure.
Search and seizure, yes.
Along with occupation of domicile through... I can't remember how it's worded. I've read it before. But I agree that it's a divisive and distracting issue. And what are your feelings on it even being put on the ballot? I mean, I believe that if it's put on the ballot there, you could get a certain group with as few people that participate in voting there, they could get a block of people to go out and literally vote this in regardless of what everybody thinks, because nobody wants to stand up and perform their civic duty.
All right, Jim, thank you so much for your call. I'll let Al go ahead and answer that, then we'll move forward. Al, what are your responses to that?
So this is really not going to have, I don't think, any teeth in it to make anything happen or not happen. It's simply to get like a straw ballot of where do people feel? Because I will tell you that I represent over 70,000 people in my district, but I certainly have way more than that of the people that we meet out in the general area. And I will tell you that almost everybody I meet, it doesn't matter, black, white, rich, poor, old, young, they don't want to see the history of our city being taken down one piece at a time. And the other thing is, if you think that taking one piece down is going to stop at one, it's not going to. It's going to continue. It's going to continue. And one thing I'd like to say, if possible, is a lot of times when lobbyists or people come up to you and they're trying to get you to do things, especially if you know that they're wrong, the way they present it to you doesn't sound as bad as it is. And that's part of the thing that I think that elected officials, as they get into office, they don't use the common sense that we take for granted, that we're just talking to each other right now. People will
absolutely. In fact, the key
to
it is, Al, what you're really saying, we've got about 20 seconds before our top of the hour news break. What you're saying is we need God's wisdom and using the understanding that God's given us to make decisions. Al, hang in there. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We've got 1 minute. We'll be right back after the top of the hour news.
In Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.